this Parshas Matis. It is a description of, we have the last Milchama Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu's Milchama with Midian. It's sort of the last Pa'ula that he does as a manik. There's going to be chazing over the Torah and writing Sefer Torah, but it's something about Milchemes Midian. It says also that he has to be noikim de nekama from Midian, achatas v'amecha. So Milchemes Midian has in itself some sort of important prelude to the istalkus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Milchemes Midian, it says that they came to Moshe and they said that he wanted to, they want to bring a carbon. It says to be mechape, lechape al nafshei seinu. It says they told Moshe Rabbeinu, we brought this offering, this carbon, to be mechape al nafshei seinu. So Rashi says that we're talking about hir alev. So they felt some sort of obligation, I guess, to be mechapa on the hir alev. So the Kotzke asks, doesn't quite say at the kasha, but this is pretty much the kasha that he asks. Really, this is something that they should have immediately come to him, and they, as soon as they came back from Milchama, they should have said, here is a carbon to mechapa on nafshesenu. Instead, it's only until afterwards that after he finishes telling him all the halachis of what to do with the kelim and what the kasha v'chulu v'chulu, that's when they come along and they say that we brought this lechapa on nafshesenu. So why didn't they immediately, when it came back to Muhammad, if they felt they had done something wrong, the first thing they should have done is come back and said, here is a carbon, here's what we want to be makriv, and then they would say that this is a kapar al nafshesenu. That's more or less the shaila that he asks, and interesting shaila. So there's a vart from the Kotzke over here, and I want to try to it's a very sharp vart, and I want to try to give it a deeper hesba. The Kotzke says that until he wasn't megala to them the soid of iktam keikir, which is the underlying halachic principle of the of kashering, they did not feel the need to bring a kapar and hir alev. It's only when they had this understanding that came with it, that's where they were oimid on the fact that it's an avera, that it tam keika, and therefore if they had a tam araya, so to speak, they needed to have a kapar in it. That is more or less what he says. He says it kedarka b'kodesh, very very short, but that's the in Emes Emunah. But that's what he means. So I'd like a little bit to understand this nekuda over here in its broader implications. There's a sefer called Paneach Raza. There's a mimer, quote unquote Chazal, brought in at least two places. I haven't found it in Chazal. I looked for it hard. Both of them are reliable places. There's a sefer called Paneach Raza, who's an early sort of Kabbalistic type sefer, printed. It's a sefer that's around. And then I found the same thing in the Ben Yoda on Masechtas Tainis. They both bring this. They both quote this Chazal, even though I haven't found it as such. They bring a Chazal as follows: that miyoyim shenecha beis hamigdash nitol tam min abasa. And v'nitim ba'atzomais, that with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the tam was extracted from the meat, and it went into the bones. The Paneach Rozus says it in the in Parshas Boy on the Shvirus Etzem and so on. Those in Yanim Achilas Korban Pesach. Ben Yoyoda says it on Gemara Tainis. He's on a pasuk that the Chatosam Alatzmoisam Al Kaponim. They say that the Churbes Hamikdash, the Tam was extracted from it and put into the bones. There are different lashonos of Chazal about how impoverished the land had become after the Churban, and the fact that the Shamnunis and the Tam was taken from Paris. That's more common, and that's understood as a general decrease in the quality of the world, whether Kipshuta under Tam or any type of Toiv in the world. That makes a lot of sense. But when we have this point of something of it being taken from the bus and Puntat Summis, we have to try to understand what exactly we're referring to. What does that transition mean over here? It says that the Rashi brings that in Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Tam Eitz and Pri to be Shava. It wasn't like that. The Pri and the Eitz would not the same Tam, except for the Esrig, and that's a kilkel that's seen as being a very primary kilkel in the Bria. What is the Nafgeminitas? How exactly do we understand this as being a kilkel other than just, so I guess they could have just chewed on the bark, and I don't know what the mile of that would have been. It's maybe nice to be able to chew on the bark and taste a taste of the pre, but nobody would see it as being a very, very terribly important Inyan. So let's understand the Inyan on its in its teichen. You find that the things in this world that come into this world have a teichen ruchni. They have a content that's spiritual and a levush that is gashmi, an external garment that's a physical world. It's true about my mitzvahs. It's true about everything, because everything is really a Dvar Hashem with some sort of physical projection of what the Dvar Hashem is. Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything with his Dibur, and everything in this world is a manifestation of that Dibur. So we have a content of everything, and then we have its accessibility and availability in a physical world that comes out. So if we're to ask ourselves, what is Toiv? So Toiv comes in two descriptions. It can be the essence, and it can also manifest itself in the surface, in the body, in the garment. However you want to describe that outside part, Tov goes that way. When content that we talk about, that's called Tam. And when the Tam spreads to everything outside, it means that its content suffuses everything. So if let's say I keep something keep some sort of food wrapped in a cloth bag, it will usually imbue the cloth with some of its taste. If I put it in plastic, it might not, and then it hasn't at all penetrated and so on. The Beis Hamikdash was the place where the ruchnius that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in this world manifested itself in the world. The Asura Nisim that happened constantly in the Beis Hamikdash, we normally know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like to have ongoing Nisim, and that's correct, because he wants a world of Teva. Beis Hamikdash is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. It's not our world, and it's a world where the content and the chitzonius go hand in hand. So everything in the Beis Hamikdash acts like its essence. It has everything outside has the tam of the teichen. That's what the Beis Hamikdash is. When there was Ashrua Shechina in the Beis Hamikdash, so the world at large had a suffusion of ruchnius that penetrated the outside, and everything had in itself some tam of the teichen. When the Beis Hamikdash became charif, if we're to put a finger on what's the primary destruction, the world that we know, we see, we taste, became devoid of any ruchnius. And therefore, it's something which is to the untrained eye, or to the simple eye, the world has no ruchnius to it. Moshe Rabbeinu, however, whatever he left in Klal Yisrael, never became lost or destroyed. The Mishkan that was Moshe Rabbeinu's building wasn't destroyed. It became nignas. It became secreted into the ground. The Aron was nignas. The Luchas, the Aron, Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote, those were nignas, which means they receded, they retreated into the inner core of it, but you can't feel on the outside. So it's still there, but it doesn't come out. So we have on the one hand this distinction between tam and ikar. We have it lira. If something, it's a gilui in the world of ra, that if the chitzenius of something is not treif, but its essence is treif. I have a pot, and this pot it's not meat, it's a piece of metal, but it has in itself the flavor of treif, et treif. That's the point of tam. That's the gilui of tam ke'ikar, that if by munching on the outside I can taste the inside, there's a bli of tam that's accessible, that is something which is treif. If a person doesn't do anything wrong, but in his heart he has the flavor of arayis, he has the hero of arayis, then that's also ra. Ra in potential exists, and Lamaisa, it keeps, just like if a person has Yehurim, it will press him to do what's wrong until he actually does what's wrong. So too, if a person has in himself any type of Ra, that's Begniza, if the person is there, it will find its way out, and therefore it needs to be dealt with. And that's why when they came back from Midian, they kashed the Kalim. It's interesting. The in Midian itself, the Bnois Midian were used to bring about Avodah Zarah. In other words, there was a certain tam that became an ikar. So in Milchemes Midian, there was in the Kishalmin, there was a special inyan, not only to deal with what was overtly ra, but even after you killed the people, got rid of whatever was bad, any blias in the kalim, anything that had become absorbed, it's when we understood that tam is something that will eventually become manifest itself as ra. And that's why when they heard that, they went, then they also brought the different things over there, the kumas and so on, in order to be mechapa nashaseim, because they realized that would become, that's something that's shaykh to hira lev, that's something that's shaykh to what's wrong. That was the Gil Mechemes Midyan. Moshe Rabbeinu was his last battle So before his va'acha te'osef, it's interesting. The word te'osef means to become reabsorbed, to become sort of osef al amav, gather in. It's also a type of lashon describing Moshe Rabbeinu's leaving of Klal Yisrael, not as going, not as being gone, but as being drawn in. It becomes Moshe lies in the Torah. It becomes he's Asav Lamecha literally would mean it's sort of gathered in, it's drawn in, but not disappeared. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Mulchames, Moshe Rabbeinu's end is that even though Moshe Rabbeinu himself is not here overtly, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was mantle Klal Yisrael, so it becomes part of Klal Yisrael's essence, at least at the beginning of Tam, and therefore it's there. It just needs a lot of push to bring it out. I'd like to sort of shtel it su to some sort of inyan that I guess is nagea. When we learn Torah, so the simple tfisa in Torah is that Torah itself as the pshat, the words and the simple understanding, simple meaning of the words as they are. If a person tries to say the lomdus of it, the oimek of it, best case scenario, we see it as being icing on the cake, frosting. So a person has the cake, and most of the effort is put in the cake. The icing is a nice topping. It's cake without the icing, but that's fine. That's what it is. That's our understanding of Torah. So the Amelus and Yigiyas in Torah to be Mis'amik, we understand it as adding Tzitzim or Prochem. I once saw a description of Sefer, and not from the Litvish Cheder, about the Chiddush Torah, and they were called Tzitzim or Prochem. You know, like little flowers gracing the Torah. Our understanding is very different. Just like at all the Ruchnistik in Yanim in the world were condensed, they sort of imploded and they receded and they became Gonus. In Torah itself, the Atzmius of Torah also had that same fate. It's the Tam is Nitl Min Abasa, and it went at Somas. So now, when we look at the Chitzonius, it's not the Pshat that's the goof of Torah, and adding a little pilpul to it is kind of makes it more geschmack. We're trying to be'etzim get to the Amitos Shel Torah. The mitos of Torah is Nignas. The Tam was taken from the Basa and put into that Tzomos. That Tzomos is always the essence, the core, like the word Atzmius, like the word Etzim. And therefore, a person who is not Misamik, whether it's in the Chelek of Torah of Halacha or in Chelek Torah Gada, it's not the Pshat, he has 90% of Torah and he's missing a little puts on top, a little kind of flour on the on top. He's missing the Ikka. He's eating the Chitzonis, the shell, and never ever got to the Teichen. These are the parashas when we're dealing with Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's important for us to understand that Ruchnistik as a whole will be condensed. Beis HaMikdash was Ruchnius at its fullest and most overt expression, where everything came out and everything expressed itself outwards. With the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Chitzonis became Charev, the Pnimius became Gonus. And if a person doesn't make the effort to bring it out, he's really left with a shell. It's not just lacking in taste and seasoning. He doesn't have the ikur of Torah is that chiyus and that tam that was there before. So we're always looking for things to be mechazik ourselves in the zmanim of in these zmanim of Bein HaMetzarim and so on. Specifically understanding that the pnimius of Torah is really where Torah is. The pnimius of Torah is not an extra layer, but that is the atzmius of Torah. And it requires yigiyah, to bring it out. That's really what the ikar struggle is. Al kapanim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ra was megala the tam ke'ikar, and that hirur is kechet, and adava hirurim is kashim dan chet, then the tzara toiv is that the oimek of Torah in all its halakim was never affected by the chorm. It's the ikur and the atzmius of it. And Moshe Rabbeinu and his Mochama with Midian left us this gift that wherever a person will try hard enough, wherever a person will be amal enough, misamik enough, he's going to be able to unearth that those the iris that were nignas.